The grand finale of the conference this year, 2026, has been amazing. The Leading Ladies Conference and then the Women on the Winning Edge Conference. Yesterday, God helped us to give millions of naira to 102 women. We went to the market and we brought them to our secretariat here, the Funke Felix Adejumo Foundation Secretariat. We interviewed them, thorough interview, because we didn't want them to spend the money on irrelevancies. We brought in a judge that helped us to screen them. Out of 140-something, 102 we found to be genuine, and they were empowered with millions yesterday. Give Jesus a big hand. Hallelujah. We have done this for 20-something years, and to Jesus alone be all the glory. I want to thank everyone that supported us. We are grateful. So, so grateful. May the Lord, as He promised us, give you ceaseless harvest in the name of Jesus. My husband and I cannot do that alone. Thank you for helping us reach those people. This is the 27th year that we have been taking care of lepers, and every Friday we feed them. As you bless us, we bless people too. You will not lose your reward in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to particularly thank all our speakers. Some of them, I didn't even know they'll be back, you know, this morning to worship with us. I want to thank God for you. Thank you. Oh, where is she? She just... My Lord, a judge of the federal court. We thank you, ma'am. You, Bishop said you shattered the table. Please celebrate this greatness as I'm calling their names. We thank you, ma'am. We are grateful. We thank God for Prophetess Leslie Osei. Yesterday was another thing. This woman has followed me for years, just like my Lord too. And these women are doing fantastic things. I'm honored to be in your spaces. I thank God for you. I saw Dr. Sumi. The 24 hour, even my husband and I got a miracle. I was telling your wife yesterday. My husband said he changed some things also in 24 hours, just like all of us. And I just wanted to know, sir, that you were such a blessing in this conference. I didn't know you'd be here today. We honor you. We really, really honor you. Lady Bishop Kathy, my sister and friend from Kenya, we thank God for you, ma'am. You are God's gift to this world. Please celebrate her again. It's been an amazing work in the kingdom of God. We thank God for you. Prophetess Francina Norman, she came all the way from Florida to be a blessing to us. We thank God for you. And then our music ministers, our second son, Pastor Gbemiga Adejumo, he flew in from Canada to be a blessing to us. You carry God. What? And when he was singing, I said, are you sure this is from my womb? I love you, son. And you know Dad loves you too so dearly. We want to thank God for Yinka and Somisola. Oh my God, please arise and shine. Do you know that Somisola was a member of Agape Lekki? In case you don't know, so know now that she's a possibilitarian. And Yinka took her away. So once in a while, you bring our daughter back, okay? So in fact, it's now compulsory for you every year. Make sure she comes to see her parents. Okay, please give the Lord a big hand for them. Hallelujah. Amen. Who did I miss? K Wonder. Dear caller, do you know why I was laughing? Can you imagine? Sako, are you a speaker? MC, just said, we love you, son. Are you? When we ask him questions and we raise our voice, he will say, please, 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 respect me. I'm a married man with three children. Ayo is a son in the house. We honor you, and it's going to be at the men's dinner. For your information, this evening we have the black tie event for men. Every year, we're not missing the men. We're not losing you, and we're not leaving you out of the conference. Bow tie, black tie, or dark suits, white shirts. Today you will hear a word. Women, you will bring offering later to God, because God is going to help us minister to them. The theme is the man. I expect you to be there, Dr. Sumi. Tell the governor that I said you must be here, okay? So if you're a man and you don't have your ticket yet, it's just 25K, please get your ticket. We'll be there at the Oak Event Center this evening. We will eat, we will dance, we have a DJ, man. The bishop will be leading us, we will see, and then we will bring the word. We will answer your questions. Honestly, it's primarily to answer your questions. We have generated questions, and then God is going to bless us. I want to specifically thank my daughter-in-law, Adebimpe, Pastor Adebimpe Adejumo. What a blessing. Thank you, baby girl. And then our last born, biologically, Mrs. Oluwatomi Oyinson, the mother of twins. Thank you. The Lord bless you both. And please help me celebrate our excellency of dignity, the beginning of our strength. Pastor Adedotun, Reverend Adedotun Adejumo, he did amazing behind the scene. Oh, Jesus. I cannot take you for granted. Let the God of heaven reward you, bless you, increase you. Thank you. Mommy is grateful. Thank you. Thank you, son. Thank you. Possibility voices, we are grateful. Please celebrate these beautiful voices. Thank you. All the departments, because I want us to hear the word. We thank God for you. Those of you that swears, the road marshal, what do you call them outside? The marshals? Special marshals, pay zero. All of you, just know that we are grateful. And then my tribe, the FFA tribe, Pastor Samako and her sisters, Pastor Mayokon, please, I cannot be mentioning your names one after the other. The Lord bless you. I'm grateful. Thank you. From everywhere around the world, we thank God for you. Kenya, America, Zambia, you know, people came from different parts of the world. We thank God. And I want you to please help me honor my husband. Now, before you clap, sit down first. Before you clap, there are too many insecure men in the world. Too many. And I was telling him recently that we need to have more voices that will teach men how to manage accomplished wives. It's one thing to be married and your wife is just housewife, you know, and all that. Have sex, have children. But when a woman takes her destiny in her hands and she becomes the that of that and the this of that, and as a man, you can still feel secure and let her fly without feeling intimidated. Because Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1 tells us the times have changed. God, who at sundry times, who at sundry times spoke through the prophets. Now, there is always a now. Life is not lived in years, it is lived in seasons. And seasons are seasonal. Fathers are rising up and investing into their female, their girl children. They are investing into their daughters, sending them to great schools. And when these girls come out, they don't just want to be house helps or housewives. They don't just want to cook for you and have kids. My husband would say to me regularly, if I didn't marry you, would you not have had a destiny? So why should marriage stifle you? Don't die under my shadow. It's okay for you to write your books. It's okay for you to hold your conferences. It's okay for you. Sometimes I'm so tired, my husband will ask me, what do you want them to cook for you? What a man. With all the anointing, with all the graces, this is just one of the churches. And he's not just a pastor, he's a businessman, accomplished. He was telling us yesterday, all our churches, we have 35, have their properties. Debt free. If you are not jealous, you should clap. Maybe only those on campus. Even Akungba has her own. That's the weight of that man. And yet, He allows me to be. He allows me to serve God in the house. When I sense that what this man is saying is, this is not just my husband, I look for my notes and I'm writing. He fans me to flame. He believes in me. And there is no honor I will give to anybody on earth if I've not given it to him. Bishop Felix Aderemi Ishola Folorunsọ Adejumo. Give the Lord a standing ovation for this great man. Thank you, darling. I appreciate you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Womanhood honors you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for celebrating him. Thank you. And today marks exactly 1 year that he consecrated me a bishop. You know, I forget sometimes, honestly, that I'm a bishop. I'm so grateful, darling. Thank you. And today is my father's birthday. My father is 102 years old today. 102. He went to be with the Lord a few years ago. And I'm a daddy's girl. But I wanted you to celebrate his legacy, of which I am one. Hallelujah. This morning, we are honored. Now, let me say this. Some people are examples. Some people are warnings. Some people are examples, but some people are warnings. We have in the house today an example of possibilities. Francina was saying that FFA is a sign to women. This morning we have a sign that when you look at her, you see no impossibility. You see spirituality. You see beauty, not beauty, beauty. You see a successful woman. You see an accomplished person that did not sacrifice her marriage on the altar of success. You see humility. You see an audacious woman. You see a woman that makes you feel that you can soar. You see a woman that does not sink when challenges come. And you see an old-time Christian that is consistently relevant to every generation. A lady sent a message to me some time ago. She thought I didn't know what Mrs. Awoshika is doing. She said, I am so and so and so and so and so, and I've been a part of Mrs. Awoshika's program for missionaries. She said, this is the 32nd year that I have been working with her. Mrs. Awoshika helps missionaries. Beginning of the year or end of the year, she will bring people together and make them give so she can help missionaries. So when we take your offering every Sunday and we tell you where my husband and I went, remember before we got married and 10 people died because we went to preach the gospel, our boat sank. We are alive because God said agape must be in existence. So every Sunday when we take that mission offering from you, that's where it is going. Missionaries. And this is someone that has been single-handedly doing that. Is it grammar you are looking for? You'll be looking for encyclopedia sometimes. See, what is she saying? So you, what are you carrying that you have missed? Because you have 2-1 in Igbo language or Yoruba or Hausa. And you traveled out to Cameroon. We cannot rest again. See an example in the house today. I have a profile, but I won't read. You all know it's online. Because I don't want to intimidate you. It's too much. A fellow of this, a fellow of that. The first female, even me as a woman, I'm feeling good. The first female chairman of first bank, Shorani. The first female chairman, the chairman of Chair Center. Take by me. And she honors her husband, respects the man. You wouldn't believe somebody said recently that Mrs. Awoshika's husband is one of those that direct cars outside the church at Fountain of Life. Directs empty vessels. Make the loudest noise. Can you imagine? That caliber of a man is one of those that say, come here, come here. And some people will come late to church. And they won't be putting their hand. Can this place, can they not clean it? You. Lightweight. And you wonder why God has not lifted you. We really dug into her life and we realized that she loves to watch investigative and legal series in her leisure time. I'm sure my husband will be saying, that's my wife's friend. Forensic, bring it. Why will you kill? Come. So, I'm in your tribe, ma. She's married to Pastor Abiodun. I wish she can. They are blessed with 3 wonderful sons. The Funke Phyllis Adejumo Foundation, while I'm introducing her this morning, is honored to present to Pastor Ibukun Awoshika the 21st Century Inspiring Woman Award. Thank you, ma'am, for making a difference. Everybody, rise up on your feet as we give the Lord Jesus Christ an ovation as she brings God's word to us this morning. Pastor Mrs. Ibukun Awoshika. Let God hear your voice. I'm happy. Continue to clap, please.
Oh, Jesus, mold you bare. Kabi esire o, oba ye ra ye mold you bare o. Eni la rubo ojo, eni malolo ruagba la ba o. Eni lo bati koni fe. Oba lai lai ani monika bi esi re o olorun alati leyin ni moju ba re ka bi esi re o ogbani gbani gbani lowo iku gbani lowo ese moju ba re o eyin la rugo ojo ma lo lorun agbalagba o eyin lo ba ti ko ni pe ku o ba la ila se ni ma dupe se ni ma yo ai ni e lo re jesu se ni ma dupe o wa Sheni madupe o, shele mi ma yo, ai ni elore Jesu, sheni madupe o baba, afai ni elore re o, shele mi madupe o baba, ai ni elore Jesu, sheni madupe o baba. Oyiyiyi oluworun atoba jaye eleda ogbo araye ba mo rire ba wo ni ba se to atini leyin mati ni loju ogbogba tin gbelese olorun mi a le wi le se a le se le wi odani ma daninu oba tin pe ni tin duro tini oran ni nise ba ni se oran ni nise fayati olorun mi aro olorun mi osan olorun ogbonjo aye mi oluwa mo wa dupe I worship you I testify that only you I am nothing, absolutely nothing without you. I give you all the glory, all the praise for my life, for the generations of my life. I thank you, Father, for every minute, every second, every testimony. I testify before your people that but for you, Lord, in my corner, but for you in the midst of my life, that I am nothing. Emi ani ti a obara kagbe soni. Ti en fi anu ati ife te fi nse mi lore lojojumo. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank you enough. Ijinle ninu ijinle. E seun. Ijinle ninu ijinle. E seun. Ijinle ninu ijinle. You do not understand what the possibility that this house is called. Ola Mia Soro is your possibility. The future that you do not control, the future that you do not fully comprehend at any point in time, But the future that's in the hand of the God that you can trust at all times. The future that is in the hand of Jehovah, who rules in the affairs of men. The future that is in the hand of God, who can take a pauper from nothing and put him upon the throne. The possibility that you have is that you have a God that nothing is absolutely impossible for. That you have a God that you can trust completely and totally. That you have a God that if you have the audacity to hold onto the helm of his God and take him without any option, that if you have the audacity to trust him no matter what the season is saying, that if you have the audacity to trust him no matter where you come from, that if you have the audacity to trust him no matter who your father or your mother is, who cares? Ile onu yara kan ninu igbo na ti bi mi tani e ko. The God of the universe rules in all affairs of the world. He says to one, go. He has no choice but to go. He says to another, come. He has no choice but to come. He wakes people in their bedroom and says, "Lo wa omo mi ni bi to wa nbe. Find that child of mine, and you will not stop until you get to her or you get to him." Your possibility is not by power nor by might. It is according to your understanding of who the God that you serve is. The Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits. The only assignment that you have is to know God. The only assignment that you have is to choose God as your God, not as your appendage, not as decoration, not a part of your identity for social interaction, not a place where you go and get contracts, not a place to dress up and wear fine. You can dress up. My best clothes are for the church. Why? Because I'm going to serve the Lord. What I cannot wear for God, I can wear for no man. They that know their God. So when you say we're a church of possibility, I hope you understand it. Because it means you're saying we're a church of people who know our God. We're a church of people who follow our God. We're a church of people who will die waiting for our God. Because on some days, look, read the book of Hebrews. Because as the generals of faith, men and women who believed did not receive, but it was accounted for them as what? As righteousness. Why? Because they were willing to die waiting for God, without betraying him and looking for alternatives. Before the Lord will take you up and lift you up, he must find you worthy. He must find you committed. He must find you trusting, because there is no one else but Jehovah. Let me take a break. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, my sister. Never take for granted another man's pulpit, for they shall account to the Lord for this altar, and they will account to the Lord for every life that has been committed into their hands. It's their responsibility to protect it. I can come here and do damage, as can many. But when the Lord opens his house for you and gives you a chance to speak to his own people, you better understand that you're on a matter of life and death assignment. So I didn't come here to play. And I don't play when it comes to the things of God. I'm an all or nothing person. In case you don't know, I wasn't born a Christian. So perchance, those of you that were born as Christians from your first day, you were dedicated in a church, you have taken it for granted. You know how to feel from religion, Christianity. So for you, it means nothing. It's just a letter, an identity. That's not my story. Ibadan is not too far from here. My great-grandfather was the first Alhaji in the city of Ibadan. I come from what you call Islamic royalty. I wasn't born to preach. My name is Bilkisu. If I show you my passport, you will see it. When I was in that University of Ife, Shege, I showed SUs. Because I couldn't stand them. They were boring. They were unfriendly. They were colorless. You wear one Ankara top, another Ankara skirt. How can that even attract you to the Lord? They were always frowning, looking sad and miserable. Nothing to make you want to come to the Lord. But in the midst of all my gra-gra, I was not looking for a husband. I was not looking for children. By all intents and purposes, I was successful at a very early age. I started my first business between my 25th and 26th birthday. I started a factory employing 28 men. So the Chair Center group that you see is a 36-year-old story. I started young. So by the time I was getting married on my 28th birthday, by all intents and purposes, I was a successful young girl and it was clear I was going somewhere. But 4 months to my wedding, the Lord found me. Yes. I'm giving you my CV so we can understand this sermon we want to listen to. I didn't come to Akure. For me to be here today, I left Lagos since Friday. That's the truth. I was in Tokyo last week when we spoke. And I said to her, she said, my people have been trying to get your people to lock down tickets to come here. I told Besoya as far back as how many months ago that, you know what? You cannot rely on those flights that I'm not going to. If I've given my word to be here, I always keep my word. So I'm not going to get to the airport and then they say they cancel the flights when I have no choice to get here. So I said to her, don't worry. I will get here. I will go to my home in Ondo. Stay there from Friday. First thing this morning, I will drive down here. That way, I am sure that I will be here. Once I give you my word, I have a responsibility to God to make sure it happens. And so, and my wonderful husband that you so honored, thank you, came with me. Yes. So that I will not go and sit in Ondo by myself. Said, okay, I'll follow you. But I have a meeting on Monday in Lagos. I said, no problem. Once we finish, I will head straight back to Ondo and then we head for Lagos. So I will get to Lagos today. But we're here. We moved the two of us just to be here. So perchance you want to take it for granted. Me, I do not waste my time and I'm taking nothing for granted. So let's understand this. If you're in this house today and you think that Christianity is a fashion, I came here to tell you, you do not control the next minute of your life. It doesn't belong to you. God rules in the affairs of men. I was a cocky, successful young girl who was a Muslim. There's no way I ever thought I was going to give my life to the Lord. There was nothing. My friends who were Christians knew the rule. I can sleep in your house. You wake up on Sunday morning and go to church. You leave me in your house. Don't mess around by trying to invite me to follow you to church. Now, did I go to Christian schools all my life? Yes. I went to Methodist Girls High School. I was the valedictorian for my year at Methodist Girls High School. I preached, read this sermon as the valedictorian in the Methodist Cathedral for our graduation. So, I didn't come here to talk religion. I don't have time for religion. I came to talk about Jesus. Everything else is fashionable. It will help you in some places. You can belong to church societies and profit from it. You can be part of one association or the other because you're all pretending to be Christians. The question is, are you a Christian? You! Because when you're talking about the God of possibilities, He has no limitation. The challenge is you. What limitation have you placed in His way that will inhibit Him from opening the door of possibilities to you? The Bible says the eyes of the Lord does not see evil. And therefore, no matter what the Bible says, the decree, the word of God has gone ahead. Whatever you put your hands to do, you will prosper it. Fact. It's not a suggestion. It's the word of God. Wherever the soles of your feet shall touch, the Lord has given to you for a possession. Fact. It's the word of God. Try it and test it. My entire 36 years business experience has been based on that. The Lord was kind to me. Because I got married on my 28th birthday. But 4 months to that birthday, I gave my life to the Lord. And I was raised and nurtured First, in one tiny Yoruba church where the Lord hid me for like a year and a half, and then committed me into the hands of Pastor Taiwo and Bimbo Odukoya, where they taught me there was nothing but the word to live by. And in those times, I discovered the truth of the word. So the greatest of anything that you see, I was really praying you will not read my CV. So God answered my prayers. You were under instruction. Because I said to myself, I was going to ask you, if you're going to read it after I finish preaching. I find it a distraction. Why? Yesterday's gone. Today I believe. Whatever you have done that is already recorded is history. Possibility is your future. What you can do, not what you have already done. Whatever you have already done, the Lord has finished. You are limiting the hands of God when you allow people to tie you to your past. No matter how big you think it is nothing compared to what the Lord will yet do. If you are not dead, the job is not done. Remember Caleb. Okay, please sit. Oh, sorry. I'm like that. Oh, sorry. I can't forget. We're preaching together. Please sit. Oh, I didn't mean to punish you. Forgive me. Remember Caleb. He went to Joshua and said, I might be this old, but what was the promise? He will give me what? This mountain, this land. Why? He didn't want to live in whatever it is that he had done. That he was part of the 12 and one of the only two that believed God and said, we can take this land. That these people, they are what? Are bread. What do you do with bread? You eat it up. When you're walking the journey of possibilities, you eat up everything that stands in your way. Why? Because you understand God enough to understand that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever dream or imagine, according to his power that dwells where? On the inside of you. The question is, how much of the power of God dwells in you? Because when it matters, that to the extent that you are limited is where you sometimes limit God. If you haven't done your homework, if you're not a woman of the word, if you're not a woman or a man of the presence of God, if you're not one who has the capacity to believe God, no matter how small. Remember it says, your faith as tiny as what? As a mustard seed. Can do what? Can move mountains. How many of you have moved mountains before? It shows you just how much you can do, even when your faith is less than a mustard seed. I didn't come to fight you. And I didn't come to stress your life. But I hope when I'm gone, and you know me, I will go. So it'll be you guys that will be left with bishops. But I know that this is a church where the word is preached. And I know that you have a good and a solid foundation. So when we're talking about divine acceleration, let's open Psalm 75, verse 6. 6 to 7. It says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Ah, it's the supernatural act of God by which he speeds up progress, fulfillment, and results beyond normal human timelines without violating his purpose or his principles. That is God's divine acceleration. If God is in control of it, what does that tell you? Your positioning with God is critical. You know, parents, I was telling Bishop, when he said, oh, that's my second son, I said, I have three sons. I'm the only girl in our house. It's not a disadvantage, trust me. It's called minority power of control. Where you move, they all move, they follow you. So I'm used to being the girl amongst the men, my four men, my husband and my three sons. And the reality at the end of the day is, when you might look at your children and think you have a favorite, but by the actions of each child, you can be drawn to one more than the other. Not because as a parent you want to choose one over the other, but if one of your children is more caring, one is more attentive, one is always checking in on you, one is always looking out for your interest, one pays attention to what concerns you, you will not have a choice. You will be drawn to that child. It would seem like you have a favorite, not because that's your agenda, but because the nature of interaction and relationships always has its own result. And if the supernatural act of God by which he speeds up progress, fulfillment, and results beyond normal human timelines without violating his purpose or principles is divine acceleration. And Psalm 75, 6 to 7 has already told us, from promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. It means that if we're strategic, we must always seek to find favor with God. We must always seek to find favor with God. How do we find favor with God? By being in his presence. By investing in our relationship with him. By spending time with God. Now, constructive time. Because don't forget, Mary and Martha, they were both busy for the Lord. One was busy. Just busy. One was constructively, strategically busy with the Lord. Why? Because she set herself up to listen to the instructions of God, to receive grace from him, to be in his presence and build relationship and interaction that would help her to better work with the Lord. What does the Bible say? I'm going to run. I'll try to work with the time. What does the Bible say about divine acceleration? It says it is of God. Isaiah 60, 22. I can be fast, so just write down. You can go back to it or listen to the message after. Isaiah 60, 22 says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. You know, my life has been one of speed. If you're talking about hasten divine acceleration, that's my life. I can explain it to you without a doubt. I've sat in places where, I mean, chairman of First Bank, my father didn't own shares there. My husband didn't buy out their shares. I didn't own shares there to get even on their board, let alone talk about become the first and only female chair they've ever had in 132 years history. No. I told you, by my 28th birthday on my wedding, I had a manufacturing factory and 28 men working in my factory. By my 40th birthday, I was embarrassed because it sort of exposed me. You know when you've been pretending you are older for long and one particular birthday exposed you and everybody says, that's all? She's only 40. How? Because for a long time, when I was not married yet, you know, in our time, at 28, they thought you were old if you were not married. When I was not married yet, but I'd built a business that was clear, it was going somewhere, and I was building, and people asked me, and what dad didn't come? Say, one what? How are the children, man? They're fine. What's my own? I don't owe anybody explanation. I'm following my journey. And then, as I continued the things of my life, I remember when I built the chair center head office. I couldn't tell anybody it was mine. I was 37 going on 38. In Lekki Phase 1, on the main commercial axis, I had a four-story building. Even when I took my own closest friend, I made sure we passed it. We went as far as Chevron. Then we turned back. And then, where are we going? I said, we'll soon get there. When we turned back and we got in on the roadside of the building and the driver stopped, she looked at me. Said, it's definitely not this one. I said, it was girl, Isha. story of my life. When I became chairman of First Bank, I was 52, the youngest chairman they ever had, apart from being the only girl. So I have lived many lives in one life. Who hastens it? The Lord. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. The Lord makes a way where the world says there is no way. It will cause your enemies to be your friend for your good. Nations will bow at your feet because the Lord says so. Only the counsel of the Lord shall do what? Shall stand. It is spirit-led. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God will raise people up and they will look for you. In fact, let me tell you the story of how I got on this First Bank thing that people talk about. Before First Bank, I joined the board of Cadbury. I didn't have shares in Cadbury. I'm not a very share-focused person. So there's some online fake thing that they've been posting that you should join something, and they've been doing AI of my face and my name. That you should, don't join them. It's not me. It's fake. It's 419. They steal your money. It's on you, not me. Plenty of disclaimers on my Instagram page telling you not to join them because I did not. They're just trying to use my face to make money for themselves. They are criminals. So I remember I got this call. If you remember, Cadbury had a crisis in Nigeria. And to rebuild, they brought some Oyinbo MD out of retirement to come and rebuild Nigeria. After 3 years of rebuilding, his final assignment was to build them a board of integrity in Nigeria. And to do that, they said they made a list of all of these criteria that they wanted and identified six people that they trusted and said to them, give us names that meet all of these criteria. In building that, they built a list of 30. Me, I didn't know anything was going on anywhere. The Lord will make the world remember you when even you do not remember that there's anything going on. Then, after that, they scaled down from the 30 to 8. They went back to the same people, gave them a new set of criteria. Now, if you know Cadbury UK, they wrote the corporate governance for the world. For the corporate world, they were the initiators of the corporate governance rules. So for them, it was a major embarrassment what happened in Nigeria. So they now had a list of 8. Then when they got to the list of 8, they went down to 6. When they got to 6, they started making appointments to visit people. So I got a call from a friend of mine that said, some people want to see you. I said, I'm traveling tomorrow. If they can see me tomorrow morning, I will see them before I travel at night. She didn't even say what it was. Anyway, these two very tall English men came to my house. And for the next 2 hours, we had these conversations. They asked me 1,000,001 questions. If you know me well, I will ask 1,000,001 plus 2 questions. So we asked all the questions. They left. I went on my jolly way. About a few weeks after, they sent me a message, asked for some more information, sent it to them, and all that. And then I traveled again. Sometime after, they came back and said, if we ask you to join the board of Cadbury, will you say yes? I said, if only to make you realize that Nigerians are not criminals. Something might have gone wrong there, but it's not because that's who we are. I will do it for you for free. So they went away. I was on holidays, I remember, in August of 2009, when they called and said, do you have the time to join the board right now? And I said, sorry, I'm on my family holiday. I cannot. So they said, okay, fine. And that's how they ended up with Atedo Peterson, Dotun Suleiman, and myself. They joined in August. I joined the next board meeting in October 2009. I'm still on their board, about to finish and be done with the job. But it was the year after that the Lord, I got a call. I need to tell you some stories because it's the only way I can make you fully understand what it is when the Lord chooses that he wants to accelerate your life. It's nothing about you. You cannot manipulate him. You cannot slip your way to the throne of God. You cannot bribe your way to the throne of God. You might get into position through men by bribery, but it will destroy you. Because the acceleration of God is the one that is sustainable in all seasons at all times.
It is the blessing that maketh you rich and never has any sorrow. It is where the money you will make from there will bless you and bless your generations. It is where you will walk and you will create real impact that your name will never be forgotten. It is where when the devil comes to attack you, you will be able to stand if he's God. But if he's man, you will bow because you know how you got there. Anyway, so before then, in my normal course of life and work, I'd met a young lady who then became my mentee. And just developed a relationship with her, took interest, just my normal way of life. Forever trying to see how I can add value to the next person. And I told her she was trying to get into Harvard. And I said, me, I know maths, so if you come to my house every day to study, I would help you with some of the maths. And that became a practice. She'll come to my house. In fact, my husband told them at the gate, she's my daughter. So when she gets to our gate, they'll say, Oga's daughter, Oga's first daughter. You'd have thought we had a child outside. But that's exactly what happened. Anyway, we walked through this. She did the exam. She passed. She got into Harvard. So I told her, if you get in on your graduation, I'll be there. So 2 years after, she was graduating. And I went to Boston because I always try to keep my word. And we did the graduation. We did everything. Her entire family was there. Her father, her mother. She had 6 siblings. So there's 7 children. They were all there. And the night after the graduation, I was going to leave the next morning. The parents asked for me to come. And I went to see them and they said, look, we want to thank you for how much impact you've had in our daughter's life and for the work that you have done. You might not realize it, but we know we're observing and we can see. And we want you to know that she's not the only one. All 7 of them are your aburos. You're in charge of them. I laughed. Anyway, I left. But we developed a relationship. And then one day I got a call from the mother. She said, and I said, morning, ma. I was going for a Christian Missionary Fund project. We had one of our programs, and I was on my way there when she called me. And she said, have you heard from our daddy? I said, no, ma. She said, he's looking for you. I said, eh. Okay. She said, do you have his number? I said, no, ma. So she sent me his number. And I called him. And he said, oh, can you come and see me right now? I said, I'm sorry, sir, I can't. He said, why? I said, I'm on my way to a program that I'm in charge of. He said, can you see me today? I said, much later in the day. He said, what time? I said, 6 p.m. He said, I'll wait for you. So at 6 p.m., I went to see him. When I got there, he said to me, look, we're setting up an insurance company in joint venture between First Bank and the second largest financial services group in South Africa. And we want you to be the chairman of that insurance company. I looked at him, I laughed. I said, sir, me, I don't know anything about insurance. Why do you want me to chair the board of an insurance company? If you tell me to just join the board, I will add value. But I can't be responsible, be the arrowhead for something I do not know. The man said, there's a reason we came after you. I said, eh, what is that, sir? He said, you have built businesses from scratch. I said, yes. You have joint venture partnership with international companies. I said, yes. Said, this is a joint venture between 2 multinationals. This business is a new business that has just been built. Our own people are used to being part of a multinational. They don't know how to build a startup. What you have that our people don't have is what we're looking for. That the insurance people will be there. Listen to me. May you not be hidden. May the devil not bury your talent. May the devil not hide you away, that the world will not see what you carry. But if you carry it for yourself, God is out of the equation. If you carry it in the name of the Lord, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. If you carry it in his name, he will build that house because he will cause the doors to open. He will direct the eyes of men to find you where you are. Even when you're stupid and you do not understand, he will keep them at peace until you catch it. Because I didn't understand. So I said to him, you know, this is not my forte. The man was patient with me. He explained to me why I was the right person for it. So I said, okay, sir, you know what? And this is why you must know who you are and you must have a system by which your life works. I said, you know what? Let me go home. I need to speak to my husband and I need to pray.
Two conditions I gave him. He said, fine, take your time. But as I left there, you must understand something about building the right tribe around yourself. Tribe of wisdom, tribe of understanding, tribe of encouragers, tribe of those who rejoice at your promotion. Not the ones that want to pull you down, but the ones that want you to succeed. So I called one of my closest friends. We served the same purpose for each other. And I said, where are you? She was somewhere. I said, I'm on my way to your house. Go to your house now. She was sitting in a strategic position. She will understand the decision I had to make. So I called her. I went to her house, got there before her. She came to join me. We sat down. We trashed the matter. She explained to me why I was right for the job. I gave her every reason why I shouldn't do the job. And she gave me every reason why I must do the job. I said, okay, thank you, I've heard. I left. Went to my wonderful husband. Didn't go home to meet a man who would think, chairman, okay. Won't she now be this? Won't she now be that? Won't this be that? Let's cut her wings before she moves. Listen to me. The two is what? When one of the one undermines the one, he undermines himself. End of story. The two is one. When one of the one decides that the one will not function, he destroys himself. When the Bible says that he who finds a wife does what? And obtains what? You know, the woman my husband met and married, he knew she was ambitious. He knew she was driven. He knew she had capacity for great things. But he could never have imagined the woman I became. That's the truth. But the beauty of who he is that for every stage of my life, as the Lord revealed, my husband emerged in the capacity to nurture, to support, to encourage, and to allow the best of who I am to emerge. That's the truth. I'm here this morning. Do you know my father's name? Oh, this is Ondo State. So the Awoshikas get all the value. But I'm an Ibano girl. My father's name is Adekola. Do you know it? No, you don't. Who paid my school fees? Who raised me? Who showed me the way? Who taught me the value of hard work? Who gets all the glory? I beg. So a wise man will understand that it is an unbalanced advantage that the Lord has given to men. When he gives you a wife that comes with value, it is your responsibility to harness that value for your benefit. Because whatever she becomes in your name. And your children will benefit from it, and generations. You know, when you have two heads that are working together, let me see the one that will stop them. If your husband's connection cannot open one door, your wife's connection will open the other one. When the two connections are tied together, every door will be kicked down. Anyway, let's continue our story. I'm going to try and work for this time. So, I went home to my good husband and said to him, this is the conversation I had today. He, like my friend, spent time explaining to me, well, of course you can do it. And like, gave him every reason why I shouldn't. He said, of course you can. You know, give me this, give me that. We finished the conversation. I said, okay, you know what, let me pray about it. I got to church. This was a Saturday. When I got to church the next morning, I went to the third leg of my life, my pastor. Yeah. Listen to me. There's a reason for every pillar of your life. I remember on my 40th birthday, the Lord showed me something. He told me to wake up in the morning on my birthday and go to every authority in my life to bless me. Look, I carry the blessings that are spoken over my life. That is the truth. You call me Bukun Aweshika. My name is Bilkisu. The Lord named me in church. The Lord spoke in a prophecy publicly in church when I said, this will be her name. Her name will be Ibukun. because she will be a blessing to her family, a blessing to her nation, and a blessing to the world. I leave my name. I am a working prophecy. I know that. I carry it with pride, but I also carry it with understanding. It makes me fearless and unafraid, because I know you want to fight me. I'm sorry for you. Ashoroba jabi olorunsi. You have to know who you are. You must know whose you are. You must know the covenant that you're working under. When you know it, you will fight the battles and wait for the enemies to come. Emefiele thought he was playing with another. The last thing I said to him in his office, after the first bank grab, I went to him and I said, the last thing I said after we had talked back and forth, I said, you know what? I leave this matter in your hand and in the hands of God. He said, ah, I said, Animo fisile sowo oluwa. Have we not seen the hand of God? Don't be afraid to do the right thing. The Lord will always stand for what is right. At the end, he will fight your battle. So I went to my pastor, Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, and I explained to him, sir, I had this conversation yesterday. I need you to pray along with me. I'm trying to decide if this is something that the Lord wants me to do. So after a few days, my pastor called me and said, I have prayed. The Lord has not spoken, but he hasn't said you shouldn't do it. I believe it's the right thing for you to do. So I said, okay, thank you, sir. And thereafter, I called back the man who had the conversation with me, and I said, sir, I don't know you to be a man that will play with your money. But if you think this is something I can do, I like challenges. Why do I like challenges? Because it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that will show me mercy. The Bible says, I can do what? I can think. Through woe, through Christ who strengthens me. Your life is in the scriptures. Find the scripture. Understand it. Run with it. So when people think I'm fearless, it's because the Bible tells me I'm fearless. Why? I don't have to count on me. I just need to trust the God who can make it happen. The only responsibility I have is to understand that God has called me to that thing. That's where I invest my time. Once I know that this one is of God, oyemi koyemi, ayemi lono. Why? The Bible says God delights in the prosperity of his people. He delights in my prosperity. He will reveal to me what I need at every stage, and he will make a way. Everything that you need, you will not know. But everything that you and I need, God prepared from day one. At the stage that I need it, he unveils the next door, and the next door, and the next door. Anyway, so I went back and said, I don't think you play with your money, but I like challenges. I'm willing to take up the assignment. He was so excited, I was surprised. Anyway, he said, send me your best CV. I sent it. 1 month after, I traveled, came back, and I got a message. No, my battery died. I plugged it in, and just before going to bed, I just saw that all sort of messages were coming. I'm like, I read it in the morning. The Holy Spirit said, open your phone now. So I went there, opened my phone, and I saw one message that said, congratulations, you've just been appointed to the board of First Bank. I said, don't shout, just wait. I said, First Bank. Nobody had such a conversation with me. So I went to my husband and I said, read this thing. Perchance I'm blind. He read it. He said, that's not what you told me. I said, no. That's not what they told me. What I told you is what they told me. So I called the person who sent me the message. And he said to me, hey, congratulations. I said, but nobody spoke to me. He said, aren't I on the board? I was on that board. We had our London board meeting today. Your name was presented at the board, and the board approved. And therefore, you have been appointed as a director. I'm like, First Bank. Long. I was in my 40s. See, I became chairman at 52. But this, I was still in my 40s when that happened. Because I was on the board for 5 years before I became chair for 5.5 years. So I picked the phone, and I called the man who spoke to me. And I said, sir. He started laughing. As he picked the phone, he knew. He just said, hey, my director. I said, sir, that's not what we discussed. He said, who do you know that they will tell that do they want to join the board of First Bank that will say no? He said, you test the heart and the minds of people. That there are ways that things are done. And anyhow, that's how I found myself on the board of First Bank. When the Lord will hasten your promotion, you will not understand. Let me explain. 3 months after that, my sister and my friend, 3 months after that, I'm greeting Her Excellency, the First Lady of Ogun State. 3 months after that, I was then appointed as chairman of that insurance company. So it was double appointment. Joined the board of the bank in December, became chairman of the insurance company in March. They had a business plan to be successful in 5 years as a startup. By the end of the 24th month, we were a profitable company. The Lord will hasten your growth by His own hand. Because of that, when the Lord does exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ever dream or imagine, through your hand, not by power nor by might, but God doing it through your hand, by the end of the second year, where that result was revealed, they moved me 3 months after from there to go and become the chairman of FBN Capital. FBN Capital is the investment banking part of the First Bank Group. Was I an investment banker? No. But was I now afraid of it? No. What do you think? No. Why? God had shown me that me plus God were enough for what? For the assignment. And so I took the assignment. And even though it was a struggling subsidiary then, 3 years after, it was completely turned around to a very successful subsidiary. In between it, we had bought Kakawa Discount House. The group asked me to chair Kakawa Discount House at the same time. And it was at the end of creating a merger of Kakawa Discount House and FBN Capital to create FBN Quest Group. It was at the end of that that they made what seemed like an impossible decision to make a girl the chairman of their biggest asset, which is First Bank, the commercial group. The Lord will do what? Divine acceleration comes by divine orchestration of God. You cannot manipulate it. However, your part in it is that haven't done all is what the Bible says, right? Haven't done all. Do what? Stand. It means you'll be excellent at your work. You'll be diligent at your work. You'll be exceptional at your work. You will prepare yourself. You will prepare your hand. You will gain every knowledge. I know that Bishop Mrs. is a great example. Going back to school at what age? Because knowledge is eternal. It has no limit. It doesn't stop. I'm a permanent student like you. Always back at school. Doing one thing or the other. Why? My last program finished in February 2025. Was a 6-month program at ESA Business School in Spain. Why? Because knowledge is power. Knowledge puts you in a position that God can use you. Both divine and technical strategic knowledge. If you know where you want to go, prepare yourself for where you want to go. And let the Lord show you. It's spirit-led, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. It's preceded by preparation and training. That's what I just told you now. Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not delay. So whilst you can see where you're going, don't wait to get there and be surprised. Prepare yourself every day for where you're going. Because you know what? You're living your life on a stage like I'm standing right now. There's a whole world watching you, watching what you do. You have not invited them, but they're watching. You have not informed them, but they are informed about your life. When it matters, they will speak for or they will speak against you at the right time. Yes, because your actions of today will either speak for you or shut the door against you tomorrow. Preparation is a daily process. It is not just when you see the door, you start preparing for it. It's too late by then. Because by then, you have left a legacy that will speak against you if you haven't prepared your hand. No matter where you sit, do the right thing. Because you do not know who the observer is. You do not know what legacy you're leaving. You do not know what references you're leaving. People that watch you are the ones that will speak up for you when you do not even know that an opportunity exists. It is triggered by thanksgiving. Today is a day of thanksgiving. Why? A grateful heart. A heart that understands that whatever the Lord has caused you to do till today, it might not be what you want yet. But you know what? Your times and your seasons are what? They're in the hands of the Lord. He controls it. He rules in the affairs of men. He knows more than you. He knows the right time. Your timing might seem late to you, but guess what? God is never late. And another man's time is not yours. Some people will speed vroom. All of a sudden, they'll do what? They crash. Some will go slow and steady. I remember there was a stage I used to lament to God that, I work so hard. I watch all these guys who can do less than what I can do. But because I cannot do the things they will do, they will get the biggest contracts in the furniture sector. When they will get it and come to me to come and buy. Why can I not get it? I cannot bribe. I cannot do some things. And therefore, I will not get those opportunities. But I was slow and steady. My slow and steady journey that looked like it was slow and steady was building a story that even I did not realize. When it mattered, every single part of that story spoke. And the Lord showed up for me. 2 Chronicles 20:22. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. When you are thankful, the Lord will cause your enemy to fall before you. He will orchestrate motions. He will organize people that you do not know to fight your battle. Thanksgiving draws the favor of God. And that's what today is about. After all has been done through the week, you have come to the house of the Lord to say, Father, we thank you for what you've done for us through this conference and for all the blessings that have come. Requirements for divine acceleration, precise alignment. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. When you are precisely aligned with God, you are a man that does not move without the instructions of God. The world might seem and the ways of the world might seem attractive, but you will not do it because you know that it is not pleasing unto the Lord. I can tell you a million stories in that sector. We don't have the time. But all I can warn you is the world has options for you every day. But you are the one that must choose whose you are. That's why I said at the beginning, they that know what? They that know their God. They that know their God will not betray him for a plate of pottage. They that know their God will not betray him for private jets. They that know their God will not betray him for millions of dollars in your account. Because dead men can't spend money. The money that you have without God is a curse in your life. It's only the blessings of the Lord that make you and I rich and add no sorrow. So pay attention. Be precisely aligned to the will of God. Whatever is offered to you to accelerate your growth or your promotion, is it of God? Is it in line with the word of God? Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. There will be many, many, many options every day. But trust the Lord. Trust his timing. When it seems delayed, if you know that you're doing it God's way, don't worry, it's not delayed. God's time will come. And when that time will come, you will understand that things will happen according to his way. Spiritual discipline. You know, one of the challenges of success is that it takes you away from God if you're not careful. If you do not understand who brought you here, if you do not understand who can keep you there, if you do not understand who opens the door for you and can make a way for you, the place of your blessings will become the place of your curse. Yet the Bible says that the blessings of the Lord, they make us rich, they add no sorrow. The wealth of the Lord comes with peace, with satisfaction. Oh, you can have challenges and battles in the midst of it. David was a man of war, but did that take away from him the hand of God that was upon his life? No. He fought many battles. He seemed like an outcast. The word had gone ahead of him that he would sit on the throne. How many years did it take for him to sit on the throne? The word had gone ahead of Joseph that he will rule. How many years was he in jail after he knew the will of God and that he will rule? It is not your time. It's God's time.
And the only time that is the right time for you is God's time. So that's spiritual discipline. Romans 12, 1 to 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship do righteousness and iniquity have? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? When we get desperate and we're looking for quick acceleration, we tend to forget who we are. We will take whatever comes our way. We will try to reason it out and think for God, where God has not told you that he has lost the capacity to think. So pay attention. Don't be deceived. Whatever it is that you think you are doing with smartness, God is not deceived. Only the will of God. It requires total submission and obedience. Divine acceleration requires total submission and obedience. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. If you are driven by divine orchestration, if you are driven by divine obedience, when the things of the world try to pull you away and offer you things that would seem to promote you, you will not accept it. Let me tell you, as the chairman of First Bank, one of the easiest things that I could have done is to follow the devices of Emefiele or agree with his allies on the inside. It will make my life easy. You know, as the chairman of a bank, if you are in compliance with everything that everybody wants to do, they will just be making sure that they give you money, give you things, gifts, you know, even more than your benefits. They will make sure, because you are allowing them to use the power of your office for things that they shouldn't do. It's very easy. My life would be at peace. I would sleep, I would wake up. There were many chairmen that seemed compliant to that, and they did not have the troubles that we had. But do I regret our troubles? Never. Why? Because the devil will not try you if you're already in his camp. He controls you already. What has he got to lose? Nothing. Continue to make you happy unto destruction. But the biggest test was for us to live as who we say we are. Can you imagine? How will I preach? Which mic will I hold? How can I have the boldness to speak if I have compromised where I should not? Even in the midst of the storm, the agenda of a storm of that nature is that you will bury your head and you'll never come up. They that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits. As long as you can hear me, I will continue. As long as you know who you are in Christ, you will not bow to mammon. Positions will come and they will go. But the faithfulness of God in your life will never change. And the hand of God upon your life will never be removed. It seemed like, oh my God, but see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. You know, for those who do not understand, the crisis became a platform for my elevation. That is the truth. It became a platform for my elevation. I remember I was in process to serve on a board on the American side in the middle of it. And one of two of the largest law firms in the world, representing Securities and Exchange in New York, who had to sign off that I was fit for purpose. Crisis had just happened. And the company called me and said, we have to have this session with these people. I said, no problem. Now, before then, no, that was the first one. So we had the session. And I remember that one guy there introduced himself. There were five lawyers, including one elderly woman. And one guy there introduced himself as being the one in charge of compliance. The others were the transaction lawyers. And then there was someone from the company. And the guy said, look, Mr. Awoshika, we've done our homework before we came to this meeting.
we're required to do our work because we must sign and take responsibility to say you're fit for purpose. And we've done everything that we should. So we want you to tell us your side of the story. Okay? The truth is consistent and it's easy to defend. So I laid down the table, laid down everything that happened that led to where we were. And I remember the only woman in that room. At a point, she stopped. She said, I'm sorry, Ms. Awoshika. You're not going to take them to court? I smiled. And I said to her, if I were American like you, I'd be in court the next day. It's easy, because I know I will get justice. I said, apologies, my lord, but you understand. I said, but you know, my country works a bit differently. You can't guarantee that. The people at play know how to play the system. So, as I said that, the guy who said he's in charge of compliance now spoke up. He said, you know what? I understand what Ibuku is saying. That he was part of a legal team for two cases into Nigeria for two oil multinationals. And that one, they went caught. They kept postponing, adjourning and adjourning the cases until they got to the seventh year. You understand immediately. That once they got to the seventh year, they now told them that they were in the wrong court. That they now went to the right court. When they got to the right court, they told them it was what? Statute barred. Which means they can no longer proceed with the case. It was a strategy to frustrate them and make sure that case was never heard. It can happen. So he said, I said, I've been through it twice, so I understand what she's saying. So he now wrapped up and said, you know what? I want you to know that before we came here, we did our homework. We had our answers. We knew that, but we must hear it from you. I want you to know that we're satisfied. We will sign off on your appointment. So in rounding up, I now said to the guy, I said, you know, I want to thank you that you were part of this, that because any other person will assume my regulator is the same as your regulator in your country. He now answered me, said no. He said, whenever you get to another Western world country and you have to deal with this matter, there are two things we said here today you must always say. I said, what? He said, one, he said in any organization, the CEO of an organization is the one that is responsible for everyday operation of an organization, not non-executive directors who do not work in the institution. That the CEO is responsible and liable. So if there was anything untowards, that's who should have been responsible, not you guys. He said, two, you said the guy who is going to take the position after you was on the board with you for 10 years. I said, yes. He said, if anything untowards happened, he must have been a part of it. How can he be the one to succeed you? He said, we've done our homework. We know that this is political, is anything else but what has been said, and therefore, we will sign off on you. I served on that board till the end. Now, what then happened? A year after, another board that I was going to join through the UK side, I got a call from the CEO, and he said, I need to have this meeting with you. So we had this meeting. Asked me all the questions I answered. And then he said, you know what? The board has set up a 3-man committee to investigate this. 3 months is the next board meeting. We will report back to them. By then, we will let you know the decision. I said, not a problem. But I left that day, and I was angry from the pits of my tummy. And I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I live my life every day never to have to answer a question like this. I've made sacrifices to be able to stand in righteousness in your name. Why am I even here? Why am I walking through this? But guess who the Lord sent to me on that day? My 19-year-old son, my youngest son. He was passing by and he saw me and said, Mom, what's wrong? And I said, I'm angry. He said, why? I explained to him what just happened. He said, don't worry, Mommy. That you know, these people think they know you now. By the time they finish this process, they will really know you. And when they really know you, it will work for your good. My son was a prophet on that day. Because, yes, that was October, I had the meeting. 8th of December, I got a call from the same MD who spoke to me in October. And he said, we had a board meeting yesterday, 7th of December, and you're totally cleared and approved to be chair of that board. Now, I was going to be chair of a subsidiary board in Nigeria. That's what that process was on for at that point. But 7 months after, the global chairman of that organization asked for a meeting with me and then said to me in the meeting, we have two asks from you today. One, we have three openings on the global board. Everybody on the board agrees that you must be one of those that will take one of the seats. Two, we're setting up a new board in partnership with Harvard for this project and would like you to join that board. And then he asked me one question. He said, Ibuku, I know you're a woman of faith, but tell me, what is responsible for your value system? I shook my head. I almost wanted to burst in tears because I'd gone through the fire fighting for that same value system that he was pointing to. Listen to me. The world can come at you for what is right in the name of the Lord. You should rejoice. You should not despair. You must never lose heart and abandon the call or the assignment. You must not seek your acceleration by compromise, because everything you compromise to get will compromise the vision of God for your life. And when it does that, it will shut you down and make it impossible. I'm out of time. I'm so sorry. You must have capacity, character capacity, which is what we just discussed. Absolutely important. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Hebrews 12:11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Remember the stories I just told you? Relate it back to the scriptures I just gave you, and you will understand that. There's no shortcut. You can be divinely accelerated, but in his way, at his time, according to his will, he will keep you until the day of glory. And five, you must have kingdom focus. You must have kingdom focus. What is the purpose of all the money you make or the power you have if it doesn't benefit the Lord? What is God's stake in your success? Bishop Missis said, I have been involved in missionary work. I have for 32 years. I was 31 when I went to have my second son. I was in Atlanta when the Lord said to me, when you get home, set up an organization to be a bank to missionaries. I didn't even understand it. Remember, I was a Muslim girl that became a Christian. So all the missionaries I knew were Mary Slezo or anything like that. I didn't even know there were Nigerians that were missionaries. It's true. I'm telling you the truth. I have no shame. I went to my pastor. Thank God for good pastors. Told him, this is what the Lord told me. He went to get some books from his shelf, gave them to me, go and read them. When you finish, come back to me. When I finished reading, I came back to him. He invited some missionaries from Capro and Christian Missionary Foundation and said, come and sit with her. He sat there with us and made sure they explained to me what was going on in the mission fields in Nigeria. 4 months after, I just had a baby. My baby was a few months old. He called me one day and said, there's a school of missions starting at Four Square in Ebutemeta, being run by Christian Missionary Foundation. I want you to go there. It was a 4 months program. Every day, Monday to Thursday, 4 to 9 at night. I had a baby, but a good husband understood the call. And every day, I would go to mission school from 4 to 9 p.m. at night, and my husband would pick me up after. And after I finished, I invited my entire class to come to my house. I explained the vision of the assignment. And two people from my class decided they were free at that time. They would join me to start as my first two members of staff. That's how we have started Christian Missionary Fund for the last 32 years. I can't tell you. Right now, we have 1,350 missionaries across the length and breadth of Nigeria that we fund. The kind of things we do with the work of missionaries. Underground, we don't do publicity because you can't expose missionaries, you put them at risk. That's not what we're about. And most people do not understand the extent of the work. I can confidently tell you that though we have supporters, more than 70% of what does that work comes from my family. Because the call is mine to fulfill. And we keep it going because I know. So when I go and compete for work and somebody is competing with me, you better be sure who you are competing with or what they are competing for. What drives my own ambition and my drive for the things I do is maybe different from some others. God and I are partners in what I do. That gives me confidence. I am not afraid, and I'm certain that He will always have my back. Why? Because you must be kingdom focused. Once you are, don't worry about the rest. You know that every other person will be buried as they come against you. Okay, conclusion. God accelerates only the prepared vessels. All right? The willing, the obedient, and the righteous. And before God accelerates a vessel, He works on your character. Remember, Joseph learned leadership in prison. He aligns your mindset. Elijah learned obedience on the mountain. He tests your capacity. David learned patience in the cave and leadership in the fields. So your trials are for your benefit. They're not against you. The trial of what? The trial of our faith does what? Worketh patience in us. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Amos 9:13, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. Don't be fearful. Your friend that you went to school together or that you worked together for many years is already sitting in one place or the other. He owns 10 cars and 50 houses. Don't worry about it. Have you not seen 50 houses burn down in one day? The Bible tells you that God is the one that can take a pauper from the street and put him where? On the throne. Accelerated. God can accelerate your life, your growth, your progress, your prosperity, your vision, and all that he has given to you according to his own plan. The question is, are you aligned with God's plan? Shall we rise? Shall we rise? Ooh, you guys are sitting lazy. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Shall we rise? Shall we rise? Shall we rise? Shall we rise? Sir, do I have your permission? I have two calls. Thank you, sir. My first call is this. Remember what I said? I was a what? A Muslim girl that became a Christian. Everything I've said is useless to you if you're not in Christ. It's not by association. There's no association. It's by covenant. So if you're not in the covenant, like me, all my Christian friends that I was associated with, until I accepted Christ for myself, I wasn't going anywhere. But when I did, the hand of the Lord moved on my life and produced results. I'm going to ask a question because I don't want to waste any more time. If you know that if you die today, you're going to heaven, sit down. If you lie, it's on your neck. Me, I've done my part. If you know today, if I die, I'm going to heaven, sit. If you try and impress anybody and because of that you sit down, it's on you. Because nobody has told you how much time you have but the Lord's. Thank you. You know what? I want to kneel down for all those that are honestly standing. Please clap for them. Thank you for your honesty, because the Lord will honor you and He will honor your faith. If as you are standing, you know that you have not given your life to the Lord, or you are not in a state where you can say that you are a Christian based on the life you have lived, and you want to reaffirm your life today, this second, please come. 1 second. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. It is by covenant, it's not by association. Thank you very much. God bless you. Walk sharp, 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 yeah. Sharp. Just stand there. Just stand there. I don't know the practice of the house, so I hope I'm not out of order. They come out. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you. You should clap for them to encourage them. Everything that we're doing is for the harvest of souls. Everything else is drama. Everything else is drama. Money, silver, gold, it will not take you to heaven. Only salvation will. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. If you are standing and you don't want to give your life to Christ, or you believe that you have any other way, there's nothing I can do but ask you to sit. Because it's either you come out or you sit. It's on you. The choice is between you and God. Okay? If you're coming out, let's come out. God bless you. Okay. Can you just say this after me? Father, in the name of Jesus, today I accept Jesus into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. I break every covenant hitherto that I've entered into before today. And today, I sign only unto the covenant that is based on the blood of Jesus and his broken body in Jesus' name. Amen. My Father, my Lord, I thank you for your children as they have come home today. I commit them into your hands that they will never have a reason to look back. From today, they will serve you till the day of their death. And they will do great and mighty things for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. There's a gentleman there. If you just follow them for a few minutes. Just follow them for a few minutes. Follow them for a few minutes and then you can join the service back. Now, second call, very quickly. I have a call to raise treasurers for the Lord. I'm not asking you for money. Please don't confuse things. I didn't come here to look for money. I'm saying I have a call to raise treasurers for the Lord. The people that the Lord calls as his treasurers, the mark of it upon their life is the favor of God. And that favor of God opens doors in ways you cannot imagine. But the understanding that is required is that you, as a treasurer, understand that a lot will come into your hand, but it's not yours. It belongs to the Lord, and you will use it for the purpose of God. You will be a hose attached to a tap. The tap will be the Lord who will be your source, but you are the hose through which it will pass through. And as you allow it to pass through you for the things of the kingdom, you will see the hand of God like never before. But it is based on covenant, and you cannot break that covenant. My work that I do with missionaries is based on my call as a treasurer. I fully understand every time there's an unusual door, I know it's not for me. It's always attached to the work of God. And for that reason, if you feel you're called to be a treasurer and you're willing to take the responsibility and the commitment and walk with God according to his way, step out. I'm way past my time. I need to get off this place. It's a covenant call. Please, if you know that you cannot be true with this, you cannot be honest with it, don't mess around with God. You cannot divert God's money to things that are not his. You cannot hold on to it. Remember the manna. If you take enough, you have enough. If you take more, what happens? It rots. So, but a hose attached to a tap will be what? Permanently wet. You will never lack anything. I know without a doubt I will lack nothing. When it looks like there's a hard door, the Lord will make a way. But I know what my life is called to, and therefore I'm not foolish in those things. Raise up your hand to the Lord. It's a covenant call. And tell him that you accept the call to be a treasurer in his house, that you will stand in faithfulness with the things that he will commit into your hands. A treasurer is an obedient servant. You will ask the Lord before you spend his resources. It's not about what you think, it's about what God directs. You will seek his face as you manage the resources. But you will know, because the Lord will open doors for you that you cannot imagine. When you go to all the banks in Nigeria and you see those bulletproof doors, it was one of my gifts as a treasurer from the Lord. I was the first to introduce it into this country. And we were in monopoly for over 10 years. And I could not even imagine what to do with that kind of money when it came. because I didn't seek it, I wasn't looking for it. God threw it at me, forced it into my hand. And at the time it started, over 30 something years ago, it was 2 million naira to buy each door. Then, and I controlled the market for a long time. I knew it was not mine. It was clearly for God's purpose. So lift up your hand. Lord, I thank you for this call. And I thank you for your people. I thank you for every single one that you have called to yourself today as a treasurer. Freely I share of your hand upon my life to walk in this calling. I release unto every life that stands before you the grace that is required to walk faithfully as the treasurer before you. They will not fall back, Lord. They will not consume what is yours. They will not misuse what is yours. They will not fall because of your blessings in their hands. They will uphold the house and the kingdom. And they will cause the knowledge of the word of God to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thank you, Father, for each one of them will come home to you as a child that you're proud of, because they will fulfill the assignment. I release upon you the anointing and the grace for the call. It shall be said of you, see what the Lord their God has done. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Thank you very much. Go back to your seat. Thank you, church. Thank you very much, Sir and Ma. God bless you.